Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
To somebody and just tell them something nice. Would you do that, please? Good spirit in the house of the Lord tonight. I love to feel the presence of the Lord. Just to give you an update on what's going on, Molly's not feeling well, running fever, whatever. And so Janet's staying with her tonight. So that's where they're at. But, you know, when you start walking in what we're walking in, you can't expect to get a free pass. The enemy's going to contest you. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I tell you, it is well. It is well. All is well with my soul. If you don't get to make it Tuesday night, then my prayer is you have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful time being with your family, your friends, your loved ones. And I pray that you have safe journeys to wherever you travel and the Lord brings you back safely on Sunday morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Romans chapter 9? Again, thank all of you for coming out on the Sunday night. To all of our guests, we welcome you. It is a privilege to have you. I just want to talk to you based out of my spirit, and I pray that you receive from the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Verse 32, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Father, we thank you for your word. Now for the next 30 minutes, anoint our mind and our mouth, and we pray that the womb of this church would be open to receive the seed of your word so that we will bear forth much fruit in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Paul begins Romans chapter 9 lamenting the fact that the Jewish people were trusting in their own righteousness to produce salvation. And the grace of God was very offensive to these religious folks. I want you to go now to Romans 9, look at verse 30. It says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. We really, brothers and sisters, don't realize how radical of a statement that this was. This was Paul writing to the Jews, and he was talking to people who were very, very zealous about keeping the law. You find that in Romans 10 and 2. They were very zealous about the law. Their entire life, brothers and sisters, was built around the law. The law told them about their politics. The law told them about their dress. The law told them what to eat. The law told them when they could use their work schedule, when they could not work. The law told them when to be, almost where to be. It was very organized, very strict. So their entire lives were built around the law. And so they saw themselves as very religious people. In fact, they would stop and they would pray. They would pray many times throughout the day, and their whole life, all of their life was consumed with seeking God. You get the picture? Then Paul comes along now and he rattles their religious cage by saying the Gentiles have received by faith what the Jews were working so hard to obtain by their actions. Would you put this verse back up there for me? Here's what this verse means. In other words, the Gentiles have come and they have received righteousness by faith with what all of you Jews were working so hard in your religious actions and you never did obtain it. And when Paul says that, man, it upsets them to their core. See, we don't really realize how upsetting this is because you know, we were not under the law per se. But the law totally, completely ruled their life. And now a Gentile, here's what Paul is speaking about. A Gentile was basically a pagan, a heathen. So Paul, here's the verbiage that Paul is using. He is saying this. He's saying that the heathen who was not even seeking after God became righteous based off of faith through grace, while Israel, having worked so hard to obtain the righteousness, they never did obtain it. And if that wasn't bad enough, look at verse 31. He said, but Israel, all you religious people, you're trusting in your performance for salvation. And after all you've done, you still haven't obtained it. Paul was saying that these heathens, these Gentiles, who wasn't even working for it, became righteous because they heard the gospel. And the gospel was, you're saved by grace through faith in his name. It's not what you've done to earn it. They just simply believed and became righteous because they were imputed righteousness by simply believing. And the Jew over here that's working so hard by this strict regiment, these laws, these rituals, these ordinances, Paul is basically saying, God has rejected you. Now, how would you feel? The Jews were furious. And that's probably why Paul suffered all the persecution that he suffered. Now, look at Romans 9 and verse 32. It says, wherefore, this is going to tell you why. Wherefore, why is this true? How could this be that the heathen has been made righteous while the Jew, whose their whole life is summed up in God, has been rejected? How can this be? Paul's going to answer that. Because they, the religious Jews, sought it. They sought righteousness, not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled. Now here's the key I want you to get. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now what does that mean? The reason why the non-religious have become accepted by God and the religious becomes rejected is because the non-religious sought righteousness by faith in God's grace. And the religious sought it by faith in their own works. And when the heathen heard the gospel, it's not based off of what you've done. It's based off of what God has done for you. And that salvation is a free gift and you don't have to earn it. They embraced it. And the religious person rejected that message. Why did they reject it? Because they said, look how hard I've had to work. Look at all this effort I have put into this. Do you mean that my self-denial doesn't make God love me anymore? Do you mean that all that I have done under the law doesn't make God love me anymore? And the answer was no. Why? Because they were putting their faith in their actions instead of receiving salvation by grace. The goodness, brothers and sisters, the goodness of God, he wants to prove his goodness even through your badness. Say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. When Peter denied the Lord three different times. God didn't write him off and say, buddy, you just blew it. You knew, you may not have known what you were doing the first time, but by the third time, you had to know what you were doing. I'm done. Check this out, brothers and sisters. If Jesus would have got caught up in the rejection of his own people, because the scripture says he came into his own and his own received him not, right? If he'd have got caught up in that rejection and then Peter denied him and then Judas betrayed him, if he would have got caught up in that, he would have walked in unforgiveness and revenge, and you and I wouldn't know the grace of God today. But he didn't get caught up in any of that. Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they do. Forgiveness keeps you free. You got to let it go. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's what I want to bring to you. When Peter denied the Lord, check out what God did. Did God want him to deny him? Of course not. But Peter made that choice. But after he had this colossal failure, check out what Jesus did. He forgave him and he put him on the stage. And he said, Peter, you're going to preach the message. And guess what? I'm going to show my greatness even through your failure. I'm going to put you on the stage and you're going to preach the message, and it's going to usher in the New Testament church. And I'm going to use a colossal failure to show forth my glory. Now, the reason why God does not want you to feel like you can save yourself is because you would rob him of the glory. And he wants to get the glory for taking someone like me and taking someone like you and giving us all what we don't earn or merit, but gives us to us by the grace of God, and then looks at the devil and says, devil, let me show you what I've done with what you called a failure. I just took a zero and made a hero out of them based off of my grace. And when you say, I did this and I did that, then you're taking God's glory. And God said, I will not give my glory to another. My glory is going to come by my grace. I'm going to take, oh my God, who am I preaching to? I'm going to take your failures. I'm going to take you born in sin and shaping in iniquity. I'm going to take all your mess ups, hangs up, hurts, habits. And then I'm going to hold you right in front of the face of the devil and say, look at my trophy of grace. Look at what my grace can do, because my grace is sufficient to cover all of your mess ups, hang ups, hurts, and habits. Woo. Huh. Now let me get real with you, okay? I grew up old school. And if I've heard it once, I've literally heard it 1,000 times. Here's what I've heard. In my denomination, we have the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a bird with only one wing that worked, like the other wing was broke? How many's ever seen that, literally, like you've ever seen it? What did that bird do? Went in circles, didn't it? It flapped that one wing trying to go somewhere, but it couldn't go anywhere, right? And basically went in circles. Now, y'all listen up. Here's what happens. Here's what we've done, okay? And I'm not mad. Promise you. I'm not judging. I'm not upset. Promise you I'm not. Here's what we've done. We said we have the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth. And we flap this wing. And as a denomination, this is what we've done. We've gone in a circle, pounding the pavement, saying we have the truth. Now, let's go to the opposite end of that. There's people out there that's saying grace. It's grace. It doesn't matter what you do, where you live, or how you live. God still loves you. I don't agree with sloppy agape. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So this whole grace thing that's really sloppy agape, you know what it's doing? It's flapping its wing and it's just going in circles. What could happen if we got a balance? Here's what the scripture says. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What if we could marry the grace of God that's able to cover all of my sins and the truth that I hear that sets me free? What if we could take both of those? If we could get both of them married together, maybe we could actually take flight. Maybe the world could see the glory of God in all of our lives. And we would say, once I was lost, but now I'm found. And the truth set me free. But here, I want you to know where I came from. I came from a life of sin and wretchedness, but the grace of God has covered me. Now I've got grace and truth. And Jesus has put me on a stage that I don't even belong on, but I am the trophy of grace and truth working in my life. Can somebody give God some praise? That makes sense? Romans 9 and 32 says that these religious people didn't receive righteousness. They didn't receive righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but by the works of the law. See, the works of the law, it's very important that you get this. The works of the law refer to doing good things, but with wrong motives. Basically, I still do what I do, but I'm doing it based off of a different set of motives. Now I'm not doing what I do to try to impress God. I'm doing what I do out of my love and relationship for Him. Totally different set of motives. Now I'm no longer in performance base. Okay? Can I preach? Because remember now, your position, that's settled. When you're seated, that is a position. I'm seated. I am seated with Christ. No matter what comes, good or bad, my condition can change, but my position doesn't. See, what we Pentecostals are doing, we come to the house of God worshiping based off of our condition. Oh, praise God. He healed the lump, and I'm glad He healed the lump. That's great. But what if you got to fight for your health again? We shout and call, I got the check in the mail. Woo! I got the check in the mail, baby. And that's our condition, and we're happy about it. But what happens if we run out of money again? Now what we do is based off of our condition. This is how we live. If it's good, we're up. If it's bad, we're down. If our kids are acting sane, then it's good. If they're not, it's bad. And it's based off a condition. When you understand that I'm seated with Christ, whether I'm going through some hard times, whether the money's not like it ought to be, I'm still seated with Christ. My position is eternally secure. It's not based off of what I've done. It's based off of what He's done. I'm seated with Christ. In fact, He made me sit with Him. See, when you understand now, here's what I do believe. The more you see and get in alignment with your position, I do believe the more your condition starts changing. Because now you're not just living according to the carnal mind. You're starting to walk according to the Spirit. I'm walking in what He set me in. I'm walking in the position that He gave me. See, I didn't earn this, brothers and sisters. Do you hear me now? I did not earn this position on the throne with Christ based off of what I did. He took me and He gave me His righteousness. And He set me in this place. I'm not a little bit above principality. Principalities and powers. The word says I'm far above it. I'm way above it. I'm not working to try to get a victory. I'm already living in victory, and the devil would like to steal it from me. Did that make sense? Okay, so now what we do is What we do is the motive is different. Okay, I got sidetracked. I'm sorry. The motive is different. A work of the law is when we're doing something with the mindset that this is going to earn us a relationship with God. In other words, he owes us based off of what we've done. That's the work of the law. When you come up to me and you say, I don't understand why God hadn't healed me. I paid my tithes. I sung in a choir. I taught the junior high class. I've been faithful for 30 years. I don't know why God hadn't saved me. Here's why. Because you're basing it off of what you did, not what he's done for you. Okay? So a work of faith may be the exact same action, but the mindset behind it is this. I'm not doing this to earn a relationship with God, but because of what God has already done, I have this relationship. I love him and I want to serve him. See, so works of faith are motivated by faith and love, not a sense of obligation and debt. So Paul was saying, here's what Paul was saying. He was saying that these Jews had the wrong motivation. They were doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. So here's the important part. Here's what I want you to get. The Bible says that they stumbled over the stumbling stone. And then right there in Romans 9 and 33, he starts quoting from Isaiah 18 and 14. And this is what he says. And behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him, that's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. What does that mean? I want to explain it to you. It means that some respond properly by faith and are born again and receive this precious gift of salvation, and others try to maintain their own goodness and stumble over the grace of God. Now check this out. This is fixing to get heavy. The very thing that caused them to trip over Jesus will make them fall flat on their face on their way to hell. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Jesus he caused them to stumble. Why? Because it wasn't based off of the works of the law. And so they met up with Jesus and they stumbled over that because they couldn't accept the grace of God. And because they couldn't accept the grace of God, that was their salvation, they're going to fall flat on their face and wind up in hell. And then when they get judged, God's going to bring them out and he's going to judge them. And they're going to wonder, why didn't I make it? Say, Pastor, I have a problem with that. Well, what does the scripture say? It says there's going to be those of you that did all these mighty works. Oh, you don't want me going there. You cast out demons in my name. You healed the sick in my name. And I'm going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. How can that be? Because there's a lot of Christians out there thinking they're saving themselves. Based off of what they're doing and how holy they think they are. See, you should live holy, not based off of trying to impress God. How can your holiness, brothers and sisters, impress a holy God? Does that mean, Pastor, you're saying I don't need to live holy? No, I'm saying be and live holy, but do it for the right reasons. Don't do it trying to earn brownie points to get God to move in your life. Live holy because you don't want to give the devil access to you and take you down a path of death and destruction, because the wages of sin is death. So you don't want to give Satan inroads into your life, because the Bible says don't give space to the devil. But if you're trying to live so holy because you want to impress God, then guess what? You can never impress God with your holiness. Can anybody, and I'm being kind, can anybody tell me in Scripture, in the New Testament, where God ever said, wow, you just blew me away. You are so holy. I've never seen it. Can you? Come on. Is it there? Have y'all found it in the New Testament where Jesus was blown away by somebody's holiness?
If he was so concerned about your holiness, then why didn't he hang out with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees? They were considered the most holy people. Why didn't he take his disciples from them? Here's what blew God away. He said, "Whoo! I hadn't seen faith like that. No, not in all of Israel." He never commented on somebody's holiness, because how can you impress a holy God? What impressed him is what he hardly ever saw, and that was faith in who he was and what he could do, and not putting faith in themselves, but faith in the risen Savior and what Christ could do. When you place your faith in Christ, then you don't start looking at your performance and you say, "Well, I can't pray for anybody now because I don't know that I measured up today." I got 4 minutes according to my watch here. Okay? Here's what we've done. We didn't mean to, but here's what we did to you. Okay? Here's what we did to you. We did this. We said, you got to be perfect for God to use you. And now we're scared to step out and be used of God, because then we look at ourselves and we still see flaws, faults, things that we still hadn't overcome, things that we still should do a little bit better on. And then we get to looking at ourselves and say, "Man, I can't lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I know what I done." And we have made you so sin conscious that you're not God conscious, because now you're coming based off of what you've done and not what he's done for you. See, you're basing how God can move based off of your carnal mind, not based out of your spirit. And so what we taught you a bunch of emotionalism. And I'm not being rude. I'm not mad. I'm not upset from where I come from. But we taught you that you can only do it if you got a tingle. And you can only do it if you got a goosebump. Yeah. Y'all, this is fixing to be comical what I'm going to tell you and show you. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think the Lord was like, "Whoa, ooh. Shondo, woo, I feel that. Come here, Bubba." Yo, seriously. I mean, that's comical, isn't it? That's like you're laughing because it's so silly. Do you think God really did that? I understand the unction. I understand the anointing. I understand when I feel it and have the goosebump and God's, you know, put that anointing on. I get that. But the fact of the matter is, we wait so long till we get that feeling that we don't really believe that the power of the Holy Spirit abides in us, and it's constantly working, and it's constantly wanting to do good, and it's constantly wanting to use you to show forth his glory. So we got to wait till we come to church to get the tingle and the goosebump before we believe God can do anything. When the world is out there hurting and we're walking by how we feel, based off of our performance, based off of whether we're good today or bad tomorrow, or where we are judged on Christ's radar of whether we can be used of God or not. And now we've made you professional Christians that come and sit and soak and watch the show. I love you, and I'm not mad. I promise to God, I'm not. I love my mother. I'm not talking about my natural mother. I'm talking about my spiritual mother. She birthed me, and I appreciate it. But brothers and sisters, I've got to walk in the revelation that God is showing me. I've got to walk in the revelation that God is showing me. Listen, here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Right? Okay, so now here's what I want you to picture. Picture yourself yoked up with Christ. You're yoked up with Christ. Picture that, and you look over and you see Christ. "You're my partner?" Yep. "Who do you think's going to be doing the most pulling?" You or Christ? Christ. Because you're yoked up with him. How can you lose? Yoked up with Christ. So I'm not pointing to myself. I'm pointing to my partner. I'm yoked up with Christ. Therefore, guess what? I can lay hands on the sick and see him recover. I can speak a word of encouragement because Christ is with me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. I'm anointed. I don't have to feel a goosebump or a tingle. The Holy Spirit today, I was in my house today, and the Holy Spirit quickened me, said, I want you to say this to an individual. Say it to them. Tell them. And I did. And they said, you won't believe this is exactly what I'm going through. I didn't have to feel a tingle. I didn't have to feel a goosebump. You just got to be led by the Spirit. I'm not perfect. I'm just trying to walk this thing out. I want to be used by God. I want to be an answer to somebody's prayer. I didn't go into the prayer room today because I needed anything. I don't say this boastfully. I don't say it braggingly. But God has supplied my needs. He's been way better to me than I ever deserved. So I didn't go in there today petitioning Him for something. I went to the throne and told Him, God, I thank You that I'm Your son. I am seated in authority with You. I have dominion and a power, hallelujah, over the works of the devil. Now put me at the right place at the right time. Let me be Your hands and Your feet, Lord Jesus. I'm yoked up with Christ, y'all. I'm not yoked up to my performance based off of what I've done. I'm yoked up to Christ. I'm seated in a position with Christ that He put me in. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Okay, Pastor, I'm gonna wrap this up. You say, okay, Pastor, listen, I've listened to you. I'm slowly but surely buying into this. If you say it's not based off of my performance, then why do I feel like I have to perform? Here's why. Because everything around you is based off of your performance. Okay? Okay, just stay with me. Your job. If you go to your job and you don't perform, you're going to get a pink slip. If you go to your job and you perform really well, you're going to get a pat on the back and maybe a bonus, maybe even a title change. That was based off of your performance. You students, if you don't go and perform, memorize, make good on the test, guess what? You're going to have your parent or even a principal or teacher come to you and say, now look, your performance is not very well. What can we do to help your performance? We need to get this up. Even in your marriage, you're performing for your marriage, which that's really not the way it's supposed to be, but 9 times out of 10 it is. In fact, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. I'll never forget this. I was about to open the door and walk out, and the Holy Spirit, I wasn't walking out on Jan, I was just walking outside, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Wayne, if you continue to keep score, you're going to lose your marriage. Okay, here's what I want to tell you. There's going to come a time when God don't do it the way you want Him to do it. He didn't show up when John the Baptist was in prison. And He didn't show up until 4 days later when Lazarus was in the grave. And God's not going to always show up when you want Him to. And guess what? You're going to get upset because what you're going to do is you're going to tout your performance and all you've done and how He should have showed up based off of what you've done. And then you're going to get crossways with God because He didn't show up when you thought He should based off of what you've done. Because everything around us talks about our performance. Our job, our marriage, our school, everything talks about our performance. Then we come to Christ and His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. Why doesn't Christ want you to come to Him based off of your performance? Here's why. Because at the end of the day, you're going to say, look at what I did. I did this. And I did that, and I did this, and because I did this, this, and this, then here's what I've received. And look at me. And God says, you know what? That's the way the world operates, but that's not the way I think. You're going to come to me by grace through faith. And you're going to understand that it's not based off of what you do or what you've done. It's based off of what I did for you. Can grace and works mix? Paul said, no, they can't. They're like oil and water. What do you mean? Here's how it works. I come to him through the grace of God. And then I do works to show my love back to him. Not to earn brownie points to be saved. Am I saved for good works? Yes, but I'm not saved by works. And there's the difference. I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor, why are you preaching like this? Because I want to get you out of this performance mode. Because when you get out of performance mode and you start seeing your worth through Christ and how he sees you, then it changes everything around you. Because now I'm yoked up to him. He's my partner. He made me sit in heavenly places. It's all based off of what he's done. And then I come in worshiping him based off of what he's done. Not based off of my condition for the day, but based off of my eternal position in Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you're leading this church. Continue to lead us. I believe the greatest harvest we've ever seen is just ahead of us. And God, I don't think you're looking for fountains. I think you're looking for wells. And I thank you for the wells that are going to start springing up. See, all a fountain does is just, you have to fill it up and it just kind of regurgitates what's already there. But a well, there's a source. And it just keeps springing up. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well, in TPC. Let the chains of performance and works, let it begin to fall off of this church. And let us walk in the grace of what you have done for us. Would you turn to your neighbor right now? If you're comfortable, you don't have to do this if you're a guest, but if you're comfortable and you know your neighbor, would you pray right now for revelation? That God would bring revelation, that God would open our eyes, that God would help us to see what he's done for us.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.